The Fallen, Worlds of Atlantis. Written by Ravek Hunter. Narrated by Kurt Bonham. Chapter 1.
The Descant of Eriu, as I performed it so long ago, ne'er made a distinction between the goddess and the land, for both were one and the same. The druids knew this truth dogmatic, and lived well with nature and her blessings. Her name defined a promise of abundance, and it was so. An abundance of life, abundance of prosperity, and abundance of terrors, to be sure. And it was my fortune to experience every part of that asseveration. Of all the lands I have lived and wandered, over more years than I care to remember, I very nearly miss her most of all. Wotanoz the Wanderer. The Proposal. Esselt's nerves were almost frayed to their tortured ends, and, impossibly, she was charged with excitement at the same time. It was a maddening sensation with no proper outlet for relief, and she found herself regrettably following her mother's practical advice. She expelled a long sigh, a hollow sound that even to her own ears sounded tired and pathetic.
"What will Father say, Mother?"
The needlework her mother had given her as the task to distract her mind from the only thing she could think about was only frustrating her. She had never been very good at it, certainly not as good as any of her older sisters, and as far as she was concerned, it was a tedious waste of time anyway.
"He will say what he will say, child. Be patient."
Her mother lifted her eyebrow at the needlework Esselt had put aside.
"Lord Marek is the first suitor of any genuine potential that has asked for your hand in marriage, and your father, as the High King of Eriu, must take his appeal seriously."
Her suitor, Lord Marek, had gone to see her father that afternoon to ask for her hand in marriage. That was several hours ago, and still he had not returned. At only 16 years of age, Esselt had rarely thought about getting married, except, of course, that her friends, lady-in-waiting, and especially her sisters teased her about it excessively. But it was not until she had met the Duke did she feel what she could only interpret as love. And right now, love was nearly driving her to insanity. She recalled when Lord Marek had first arrived at the court of Teemrach. Esselt was in attendance with the rest of her family to formally greet him and his entourage. They received the Duke in their grand capital as a guest of honor, and her father officially recognized him as the principal diplomat of the delegation from the Kingdom of Lioness. She had assumed it would be just another boring trade mission between the two countries, where she was required to go through the motions of hospitality, curtsying and smiling and entertaining their guests with witty conversation. Esselt was glad the trade mission occurred only once a year, since the entire royal family was expected to cast themselves as part of the entertainment. Although she did not follow world politics very closely, she knew enough to realize that although Lioness and Eriu were traditionally strong trade partners and allies, her father would still complain that there were always laborious details to be negotiated or grievances to be ironed out to assure the continuation of the kingdom's amicable relationship. Reluctantly, Esselt resumed her mother's project, sticking her finger with the first thrust of the needle.
"What about all the others? There have been at least 20 since I came of age."
Her mother laughed. It was the kind of laugh that had always set Esselt's teeth on edge, and she would have grimaced if she wasn't busy sucking on her punctured fingertip.
"Those boys were little more than young nobles, looking to upgrade their family breed by marriage. None of them would have enhanced your father's position in the least."
"Lord Marek is a duke," Esselt countered hopefully.
"The Duke of Tintagel, the greatest duchy in all of Lioness. Surely father can't say no to a man like that, even if he doesn't know him well."
Her mother repositioned her layered skirts on the divan where she sat.
"They know each other quite well, I think."
What? This was news to Esselt. Every year there was a different diplomat from Lyonese. Something about the King of Lyonese keeping all of his dukes and counts engaged in the process of government. So she had never had the opportunity to meet Duke Marek on a previous occasion, and as far as she knew, he had never been a guest. Esselt considered it a sign from Eriu, the moon goddess after which their fair kingdom was named, that he should be the one to come at just the right time when she was eligible to marry.
"Your father and Lord Marek have known each other for decades,"
Her mother was so matter-of-fact as she spoke. She never even lifted her eyes from her needlework, as if what she said was as common as observing the sky was blue. When they were young, they fought wars together, went hunting together, and Iryu knows what else together when they were away from their families. Mother! Esselt was shocked at the insinuation. Men will be men, dear. You might as well learn that lesson right now. Esselt regarded marriages between the royals of Eriu and Lioness as nothing unusual. They were merely another bond that kept their two peoples united. Fortunately, she was the youngest of her four sisters, and all of them had already been married off to wealthy nobles of influence within Eriu. That left her to get all of the attention when a potential suitor came calling, and they came in droves beginning the day she turned 16. So far, her father had not pressured her in any way to choose one of the young men that lined the corridors to solicit their charms. Esselt found them all silly and immature, or far too melodramatic in their love for her that she laughed them off, shattering hearts by the dozens. Her mother's words had given her hope.
If they are such good friends, then father must approve of our marriage, don't you think? We shall see. You know very well that your father has his own agenda, and will seek the best advantage from any match he selects for you, just like he did with your sisters.
Esselt adjusted the locks of her long golden hair and wondered at how striking it was against her fair skin. None of her sisters had hair like hers. They all had brown hair that made them look far too pale in the sunlight. She giggled to herself. She was being cruel when she loved her sisters so dearly. All of her sisters were renowned as natural beauties by everyone in Eriu, and she was pleased that Duke Marek's eyes never strayed to any of them, that Esselt had noticed. From the start, the Duke's gaze lingered upon her far longer than was considered appropriate, and it filled her with excitement. He was not like the boys that courted her. He was a man, old enough to be her father for sure, but that maturity was part of her attraction to him. Events had moved quickly after they were formally introduced, she thought fondly. She found herself next to the Duke at banquets, engaged in unexpected meetings in the hallways, and answering requests for supervised walks in the gardens. She never denied him her time. She actually looked forward to it. After only 10 days in Teemrak, he told her he wanted to ask her father to allow them to marry. She had been elated. But what would her father think about the match? Would he approve because he was the Duke of Tintagel? Or deny their intentions because he had another in mind for her? She tried to think like her father. The Duke was powerful and carried significant political weight in Lioness, and the union of his last eligible daughter with the Duke of Tintagel would serve to strengthen the High King's influence in future trade negotiations and the security of his eastern borders. High King Kadarin was, after all, a pragmatic man, wasn't he? She desperately needed him to be. Esselt loved being with Duke Marek. She loved his personality and humor. She loved how respected and admired he was. It was so simple in her mind. If she loved so much about this Duke Marek, then she must be in love with him. And if her father allowed the marriage, then she would move to Valian Keep in Tintagel, one of the most glorious cities in the Western Kingdoms. She had been there once as a child, and adored the beauty of its towers rising over the precarious rocky outcroppings above the sapphire-blue waves of Lake Virtue. She also knew that Lord Marek was close to King Praetor Eldorath and Queen Penelope of Lioness, which meant that she would be going to some of the most fabulous balls of any kingdom. Yes, she was in love with Lord Marek. At least she believed in her heart that she was. Your father will keep the Duke out all night drinking and reliving the old days, and knowing your father, he will withhold his answer until they are both nearly blind from drink. Her mother put down her needlework and walked over to where Esselt was sitting. Esselt just scowled at her mother's remark. It's getting late, child, and there is nothing good that can come of your worrying. She kissed Esselt on the forehead. Get some sleep if you can, and dream about a joyful tomorrow. Then she was alone. Esselt felt more alone than she ever had before in her young life. Even though her mother was often an annoyance, she kept her company, and was someone to talk to, no matter that Essel didn't like everything she had to say. It was getting late, she brooded. Too late in the evening for a gentleman to call on a lady. Esselt began to pace. Would he tell her the news first thing in the morning, or would she have to wait until later in the day? It was the waiting that was intolerable. Her father must know how anxious she was for an answer, yet he would keep her duke into the morning hours drinking and trading stories, no matter what his decision. She wanted to punch him in the nose. Didn't he care how nervous and on pins she would be? Probably not, she conceded to herself. He knew nothing of his little girl's dreams. She stopped pacing and sternly corrected herself. The dreams of a young woman. She decided that she might as well just go to bed and sulk. And so she did. The next morning, Esselt was pleased to receive word that Lord Marek would be joining her for breakfast. She was nervously anticipating his arrival and the news that would travel with him, and worried that her father's response was not favorable. Could she live with the shame? Could the poor duke? Lord Marek entered the breakfast chamber. He was dashing in his dark green riding cloak, fastened under his graying beard by an emerald-encrusted clasp, a black silk tunic, long wool-brown stockings, and fashionable high black riding boots turned down at the top. But what she noted more than any of that was the serious, almost sorrowful expression he bore upon his face. A sinking feeling grew inside of Esselt, and she worried about the words he had come to impart, words only moments away that could leave her devastated for the rest of her life. He strode toward her, forgetting to remove his feathered hat, as would be the custom of a gentleman in the presence of a lady. Did he intend to escape so quickly that he couldn't trouble to replace his hat upon exit? Her heart raced. Something was horribly wrong.
Good morning, dearest.
Lord Marek kissed her cheek and knelt before her chair. His tone was somber and betrayed the grief in his usual jovial nature. Esselt felt lightheaded and feared she might swoon. She had seen it happen a few times before to ladies under stress and considered it a ridiculous ploy for attention and sympathy. Yet here it was about to happen to her. Ever so tenderly, the Duke took her hand and drew it to his lips, his features hidden by the wide brim of his hat and its downward-facing angle. His whiskers tickled her fingers as if he trembled, and his shoulders quietly shook, although he tried to hide it. Poor man, could he be weeping? The news must be dreadful, and she wasn't sure if she could bear hearing the words aloud.
I am so sorry, my love. His voice was thick and restrained, as if trying to deny her ears the feeling in his sad message. I have spoken to your father.
He coughed then, and sputtered a little, trying to constrain his grief. This was so awful that Esselt wanted to weep, not just for herself, but for this sorrowful creature who was struggling to say the words neither of them wanted to hear and darkened the room with their heartbreak.
Your father,
he whispered as if he held his breath, his last breath. She held hers.
Your father said that whether you like it or not, we must be undivided in our love for the remainder of our lives.
His shoulders were shaking violently as he barely released the words. Esselt was stunned. What did he say? Was he laughing?
You!
She shouted, falling to her knees in front of him. Taking his head in her hands, she lifted his face to hers. He had a devilish smile and tears of mirth running down his face.
Are you trying to bury a bride before you marry her?
She was ecstatic, hugging and kissing him until they both laughed so much they could hardly breathe. Esselt's mood at breakfast changed quite suddenly while she enjoyed the company of her betrothed, her duke. Her duke! And before he departed, she produced a lock of her long golden hair and placed it in his hand.
To keep me near to your heart until the day we meet to become man and wife, she told him.
Esselt had mixed feelings about their parting. She hated the idea that it would be almost 2 months before she would see him again, but rejoiced in the delight that when she did, it would be in Tintagel on their wedding day.